Jackson to the end zone. Touchdown, Texas Tech.
Ezukama for the touchdown.
Hand off to Marcus Fields. Down the sideline. Touchdown, Red Raiders.
Shit, I have allergies, dude.
Yeah. Do I sound, is my voice okay at least?
Let me get all sniffled out.
No, I can stop sniffling for the next 20, 30 minutes.
Yeah. All right.
At least two episodes.
Yeah. All right.
Welcome one, welcome all to the Air Raid Podcast. Presented by the Matadors. You are on, as always, with your boy, I'll be sure. And my right hand man, Dylan Smythe, is back. You've been gone so long, I didn't even say your name, your intro correctly this time. Dylan, what's up?
That's all right. Just get used to the A-team. The A-team is back. No offense to Jeremy. He holds it down great in my absence, but I'm happy to be back talking about the most miserable football team in Texas, and that's saying a lot.
You're way too nice to Jeremy. All offense to Jeremy. He's a miserable son of a gun. All right. Nobody likes him. He has no friends. Even his wife doesn't like him. Nah, just kidding. But what I'm not kidding about is the Texas Tech Red Raiders are staring a 1-3 record right in the face. And this weekend they will be playing the West Virginia Mountaineers, who is staring a 3-1 record right in the face. Now, Dylan, these West Virginia Mountaineers were the same West Virginia Mountaineers who last year was 5-7. At one point, they were 3-6. Everybody was talking about how bad they were. They lost their first five, or they were 1-5 in the Big 12 at one point last year. Oh, Neil Brown sucks. Oh, this. Well, look at them now, Dylan. Look at them now.
Right? I think this is the turnaround every Texas Tech fan was hoping that Matt Wells would have this year, but nope, not so fast, my friend.
And Dylan, who was it on this podcast that wanted Neil Brown, that hyped up Neil Brown, that said Neil Brown might be the best mid-major coach in the country? Who was it?
I don't think anybody said that.
I said that. You heard it here 2 years ago. Said Neil Brown was the best mid-major coach in the country, that he was the perfect person for this program. But no, he was the offensive coordinator during the Tuberville years. We hate him. All he does is screen passes. Well, look at West Virginia now. They look really good. They have the best defense in the country. And that defense, by stats, that defense will be going up against a new quarterback for the Texas Tech Red Raiders. Dylan, tell us a little bit about Henry Columbia.
Well, I think it's well documented by now. Everyone should know he's transferred from Utah State. He was Yost's boy back in the day. He was Wells' boy back in the day. Is he better than Alan Bowman? That remains to be seen. But it's time for a change, and I think the fan base is totally on board for that. So this will be his first start in history. So he's kind of a mystery at this point, but mystery. But he does have a lot more mobility than Alan Bowman does. And I hope that having a new man at the center brings some energy to this team.
So we've talked for about a year and a half now that even a year ago, Alan Bowman, for whatever reason, doesn't fit what David Yost is trying to do. Even at the beginning of the year, I even said that I thought Maverick McIver might take his spot because he just does not fit what they're trying to do. Now, I do think Alan Bowman is more talented than Henry Columbia. I do believe that, and I will die on that hill that Alan Bowman is arm talent is better than Henry Columbia. But we saw it 2 weeks ago. It was time to face facts. It was time to make a change. They made the obvious change going into a bye week. Henry Columbia is now getting his first start, and he's basically was QB1 for 2 weeks now. Right? I think this is the week against statistically the best defense in the country. Statistically, this is a really good test for his first time out. So let's talk a little bit about West Virginia's defense and who Henry Columbia is going to go out. Who is on what or going to go against? Who is a guy on West Virginia's defense that we should be scared of?
I mean, we should be scared of the entire defensive line, to be honest. Just the sack numbers and tackle for loss numbers is insane. But I'm going to go with a grad transfer linebacker, Tony Fields. Another linebacker from Arizona, just like Colin Schooler, but he went to West Virginia. He leads the team in tackles. He's right up in there, pass deflections on the team. He has an interception on the season. The dude does it all.
Good pick. Good pick. I'm actually going to go one better. I'm going to go Alonzo Adai. So Alonzo Adai last year wasn't a starter. Last year didn't play. He was hurt all year last year. Didn't play. Year before wasn't a starter. This is his senior year, and he has been balling as a starter, right? He's had a really good year already with a couple interceptions. And I think, especially for a new guy, first-time starter, Henry Columbia didn't start at Utah State either, right? Utah, the guy that started at Utah State now plays for the Packers. He didn't start at Utah State either. So now he's going to his first ever start. Alonzo Adai is one of those players, those veterans, that is going to be hungry. And he's going to want to, he's going to see red when he sees Henry Columbia load up and try to pass the ball to one of our receivers. But we got some stars on that side of the ball. So give me an X factor, a player to watch, or yeah, give me an X factor for this game for the Texas Tech offense, Dylan.
I think for a young quarterback making his first start, his best friend has got to be Sir Roderick Thompson. And Sir Roderick's got a tall task ahead of him. You know, this rushing defense for the Mountaineers ranks 9th in yards per game, only giving up 91 yards a game. So, yikes, it's going to be trouble for Sir Roderick Thompson. But I think if you're Henry Columbia and Matt Wells and David Yost, you've got to get Sir Roderick Thompson going to have a chance in this ballgame.
Well, I picked a guy on secondary for West Virginia to look out for, so I'm going to pick a guy at receiver for Henry Columbia to pass the ball to, and none other. And give me my boy Eze. Eric Izukanma has still been on fire. I mean, he's had an absolutely incredible year. We knew he was going to be good out of high school, and he's been just killing it. That was who Columbia passed to for the touchdown line at the end of the game against Iowa State. I think that connection is still going to be strong in this game. You can tell that they practice together. You can tell they have some sort of continuity between the two of them. So that's what I'm excited for. And I think with Eze's big size, big body, I think West Virginia's going to have some trouble. I mean, I think our receivers, our receiving group is the best in the conference. I have no problem saying that. I think they're one of the best in the country. And I think this is something that West Virginia is not used to, playing big, physical, strong, incredible catching receivers like the ones they're going to be playing this Saturday. These ain't Kansas's receivers. Right. These aren't even Baylor's receivers really aren't that great. I mean, you could argue Oklahoma State's receivers are pretty good, but not like this. So I think that this is going to be a real test for that secondary. And I think if you're Henry Columbia, get the ball out, get into those guys' hands and let them be physical. Let them run those guys over. So
I think that's
anything else.
I was just going to say, I think that's probably it remains probably every week our best matchup against any corners or any position on any team's defenses are wide receivers against anybody's corners. I think that's probably pretty evergreen at this point, but yeah, it's a tall task going against, we've said it, and I'll give you some stats to back it up, the best defense in the nation, definitely the Big 12, but possibly the nation.
Yes, I will say this. I think that's one of the big things that we lost in the Iowa State game was that we did not give our receivers a chance to succeed. TJ Vasher didn't catch the ball at all. Right, I actually forgot he was playing until the fourth quarter when he was over early fourth quarter when he was overthrown. Right, I was like, oh yeah, TJ, he's on the Red Raiders still, right? Like the fact that they all these guys basically went silent for the day, and of course there was a lot of reasons for that, but they didn't even get a chance to make an impact on the game. That is a travesty. They have to get the ball. I think at this point it's even more important to get those guys going than maybe even the running game. I think it's just that important to get the receivers going. So like you said, we have such a mismatch there.
And well, and so another thing to add about receivers, we don't know if Keshawn Carter is going to play. McLean Mannix is, the way I see it, is out. So they're saying, who did they say that was going to start at H this week? Caden Leggett. Assuming those two guys don't go, Caden Leggett will be the starter inside receiver, and yikes. Hopefully we see some Miles Price, in my opinion, but yeah.
Yeah. What about your boy Dalton? Where's Dalton at? The two deep actually had Dalton and Kashawn technically starting at the beginning of the year.
I think he's questionable too.
Yeah, I was about to say, I know he didn't play last week or against Iowa State. So I was wondering about that. But I imagine we'll see a lot more Miles Price, right? Miles Price was the one that got the green light 2 weeks ago. It seems like they like using him in a lot of jet sweeps. He's kind of getting what Kashawn Carter got last year, right? Kashawn Carter was the speedster that got the jet sweeps, that got some of those creative run plays, and that's what we're seeing from Miles Price this year. I expect to see more of that in this game as well, especially if both Kashawn and McClain Mannix are a no-go.
And Dalton Rigdon.
I was talking about speed guys. I'm talking about guys that can run.
So Dalton Rigdon.
No, guys that can run fast.
White men can run.
I said McClain Mannix.
That's true, but pass.
Well, hopefully we can stop the West Virginia Mountaineers from passing. Did you like that, Trey? Come on. Anyways, let's switch sides to the defensive side of the ball, where the Texas Tech Red Raiders will be going up against a familiar name for the West Virginia Mountaineers, Jarrett Daigie. If you might be familiar with his brother, Seth Daigie, who was the quarterback for the Texas Tech Red Raiders. That was during my time, it was during my senior year when Seth Daigie was leading the Texas Tech Red Raiders over Oklahoma in Oklahoma. Incredible game.
But, all these Texas Tech freshmen are like, who?
Yeah. They're like, Jarrett Daigie had a brother? So, Dylan, give me a player to watch other than Jarrett Daigie on West Virginia's offense.
I'm kind of torn between two, so I'll pick one and maybe you'll pick the other. I'm going to go with the running back, Letty Brown. I think through, 4 weeks, 5 weeks? I don't even know what week we're in because it's been so wild. He's been the best running back in the Big 12. He's a large part of their success because he averages 6.4 yards a rush, which that's pretty incredible. And then aside from that, and coupled with their great defense, they just milk the clock because this team can run. And it's a large part of their success. Letty Brown, was good last year and got a whole lot better this year.
Good pick. Good pick there. And I think their run game is a big reason why they've been able to have such success this season. I think for West Virginia, we're so used to during the Holgorsen days, their air raid, right? That's what we're used to. We're used to them slinging the ball. Geno Smith slinging the ball. But they're not. They're really well balanced. Even a Neil Brown offense is very well balanced. And Letty Brown's a big reason for that. Another big reason for that, Winston Wright Jr. That's man can ball. I think he's one of the best receivers in the country. And, I mean, and one thing is, early in the season, kind of had my eye to him was his game that he had against Oklahoma State, put up over 100 yards. Was Jarrett Daigie's go-to guy in that game. And I think he is a guy that could easily ball out against our inexperienced secondary. Or they're really not inexperienced. They're just bad.
Just bad. Secondary. what's crazy, Albie?
Yeah, what's that?
This wasn't even the wide receiver I was going to talk about. When I said that I was thinking about two players, I want to talk about Sam James for a second. You remember him from last year?
Oh, yeah. Sammy James.
This is a testament to Daigie. They spread the ball around a lot. I mean,
yeah.
Wright's got 19 catches. Sam James got 8, and they have another receiver with 13. So they spread the ball out really well, but I just remember Sam James last year torching us.
Last year Sam James was, I think he was up for offensive freshman of the year last year. He didn't win it, but he was one of the guys that were there, had a really great year last year. But this year he's kind of been silent because, like you said, Jarrett Daigie's been able to spread the ball around that much more. So we've said his name 30 times so far in the past 5 minutes. So let's talk a little bit about Jarrett Daigie and what can we expect from the slinger.
It's a great quarterback for Neil Brown's offense. Like I said, he spreads the ball around. He's stingy with the football. He only has 3 interceptions on the season. They average 7 yards per attempt. This offense is just efficient. And Jarrett Daigie, much like his brother, as long as he just doesn't screw it up, can get plenty of wins for West Virginia.
But see, here's the thing. Sometimes he does screw it up, unlike his brother, right? Like, Seth Dagey was really good at taking care of, like, Seth Dagey didn't win us very many games, but he never lost us the game, right? Seth Dagey was a quarterback. I wish he was a quarterback now, because what he used to always do was just get the ball out to the stars, get the ball out to the playmakers. He rarely lost the game. Jared Dagey, on the other hand, he makes mistakes, and a big one, if you watch the game they played against Kansas last week, let me tell you something. If West Virginia wasn't playing Kansas, if they were playing an actual quality Big 12 team, they would have had trouble. Jared Dagey really struggled. He only a 59% completion, overthrew his receivers quite a bit. West Virginia fans were not happy with Mr. Dagey. And I think in a situation, now, mind you, I'm crapping on Kansas a little bit, but it's not like our secondary is that much better, so I get the pessimism from some listeners there as thinking that our secondary is going to make much of a difference. But if we get the pass rush that we were able to get against you saw it a little bit in the Iowa State game. The pass rush we've seen in the last two games we played, that pass rush where we're pressuring Dagey a little bit could really be beneficial and force him into mistakes. The problem, Dylan, the pass rush hasn't been too shabby. The O line for West Virginia hasn't been too shabby. They've only given up 3 sacks in the past 2 games.
Yep.
So therein lies a problem in itself. But Jared Dagey is. He can make some mistakes here. So who's the X factor for the Texas Tech defense? It's going to have to come through for us to get a W this Saturday.
You know, you brought up the pass rush, and I think that's a very good point. It's been fairly inconsistent outside of last week. They just announced that we lost. Who do we lose for the season? Why is this name? Nelson Mbanasor on the defensive line for the season. That's not great, but what that means is after a bye week, Tyree Wilson, you know, the transfer from A&M,
never confuse A&M and Alabama ever again. Okay.
That A not give SEC them the satisfaction. School. Yeah. But I think, you know, with 2 weeks to prepare for this game, hopefully he's dove into the playbook and he's ready to go for this game, because we really need a consistent pass rusher, and he's the most talented one on the line.
Let me tell you something. Tyree Wilson, he hasn't been in the game a lot, but when he is, you see it.
Yeah.
Right? He is a very loud defensive player. When he's in the game, you're like, yes, he is in the game. Now, Nelson Mbanasor not playing and being out for the year is a big blow. This was the year he was due to really make some noise, and you kind of already saw him making somewhat of an impact. But like you said, that does leave way for Tyree Wilson to really blow up, really make an impact. And we'll see a little bit more of him in this game, especially if he does get the reins more.
I think this is the week they hand him the keys.
You say he's going full on this time?
Yeah. He's going to see more snaps than he's ever seen all year.
I hope so. I will say the X factor for this game, I'm going to stick in the passing game. Zeke McPherson. Look, I just talked about how Jared Dagey can be prone to some mistakes. And Zeke McPherson's got to capitalize. And Zeke McPherson, in my opinion, is the best player in our secondary. And he has got to come through in this game. I think he needs – if we can get an interception out of him, makes a big difference here. I think it's time – he's going to have – probably be the one that's going to be – we just talked about the fact that they have the guys like Sam Jones and Sam James and guys like Winston Wright that can just ball out for West Virginia. And Zeke McPherson's going to have to guard some of these players. Right, he's going to have to line up. I mean, we didn't even talk about Bryce Ford Wheaton for West Virginia. He's another guy that's ball. He had the best game of his career just last week against Kansas. Right, so he's
that's
another
the
guy.
Any one of them can go off.
Yeah, exactly. So I think, but if Zeke McPherson, who's a guy who's going to be lined up against at least one of them on almost every play, if he can really make an impact, I think that's where he's going to help. And not just that, I already talked about how getting the pass rush in is going to be ideal. Hey, Eli. I mean, come on, Eli. Bro, can we get something? You're a one-trick pony at this point. Eli Howard's become a one-trick pony. Pass rush. That's it. You're not a great run defender. We just need you to get the quarterback. He has 1.5 sacks so far. He's actually done a decent job in pass rush and quarterback hurries, but I think Eli Howard is the king of almost being there. We need you just to get there. Like, can you just go all the way there? All right? That's what we need. So I know I pulled the Jeremy, and I gave you two guys instead of just the one, but Zeke McPherson, Eli Howard, Jolly Vets, I need you to get it done.
Let me throw a second one out here since we're pumping up the numbers. I think an interesting matchup to watch in this one is going to be Letty Brown out of the backfield with Brandon Boyer Randall in coverage. Boyer Randall's been the biggest surprise on our defense this year. Surprisingly good, I will say. He leads the team in pass deflections. Mm-hmm. However, Letty Brown is really, really good out of the backfield. So I think that's just going to be a fun matchup to watch.
Oh, for sure. For sure. That's a good pickup there. I think Brandon Boyer Randall, I've crapped on a lot in the preseason, but honestly, I've crapped on a lot of our transfers in the preseason. They
Jacob Morgenstern.
They have shut me the hell up, except. And even Eric Monroe. I mean, Eric Monroe is one of our leading tacklers. It's not a great thing because he's a safety, but still, he's one of our leading tacklers. So I think the transfers have done really well. I think Brandon Boyer Randall, him becoming our best pass coverage linebacker, has been a good thing. He has the speed to be able to handle any tight end or running back out of the backfield. We've seen it happen. And this defense has played fairly well. Not great. I'm not going to pump them up and say they're, oh, this is, no, it's nothing like that. It's not like the defense from the Tuberville years, but it's much improved. They haven't been the reason we've lost the last two games, in my opinion. So I cannot be mad at the defense so far. I think they need to start out better, right? We can't be down, 21-7 to start the game, and the seven that was really was 21 skunk, if not for the special team touchdown, right? So like, we have to start out as good as we end games. But this defense has done enough, especially the last two games, did enough to win. It's now it's time. If the offense can get some production, coupled with the defense getting production, who knows? We might actually get a win.
I don't know. Don't get everyone's hopes up, Albie. I said I'd rail off some stats about this West Virginia defense. It's unreal, man. They're ranked 11 in scoring defense. They give up 18 points per game. That's pretty dang good. They're third in the game in yards allowed, or third in the league with yards allowed, and 148 yards a game. Also very good. I said we needed to get the rushing game going. Well, they're number ninth in yards per game, only giving up 91 yards a game in rushing. It's insane. Number eight in tackles a loss per game. They get 9 tackles for loss a game. It's unreal. So I really feel for Henry Columbia. I hope having an extra week of preparation is good for him, but oh my goodness, what a challenge.
Nerd. Don't tell me all them numbers. I don't care. Texas Tech, baby. We're here.
Every statistical category in defense, they're almost in the top 10. Almost every single one of them.
I don't want to hear none of that.
Opposing offenses have only gotten to the red zone 5 times in 4 games.
But do they have the heart of a champion? Okay, from here it's possible.
3-1 versus 1-3.
I'm just 4-1. Why not us?
That's basketball.
Hashtag family. That's I'm just also saying basketball at this point. Yeah. But you know what, Dylan? Before we get to predictions, I already see where you're going with your prediction, negative Nancy. Let's talk about some other predictions in the Big 12. First up in the Big 12, there were some games. It's not as important as the game of the week, but there are going to be some games this Saturday. And we start off with the Sunshine State Showdown. Say that 5 times fast. Between Kansas and Kansas State. Whoo, a bloodbath of a rivalry. I tell you. I mean, it's like Ohio State and Michigan, that's pretty big. Texas, Oklahoma's pretty big, but Kansas State. Ooh, buddy, I tell you. Who you got in this one?
You know, after Kansas State's opening stinker against Arkansas State, they've been really good. I think outside of West Virginia being the surprise in the Big 12, Kansas State's right there with them.
Kansas State, you think we could beat them?
Strangely enough, Kansas State is ranked and West Virginia is not. I think that's interesting. I think West Virginia probably should be ranked going into this game. But anyways, Kansas State. I mean, this is an easy pick. Chris Klieman is rolling right now and Kansas is not. Is Les Miles going to be in COVID protocol again? I don't know.
Not sure. I mean, Kansas State, I think, is ranked because they beat OU. That's virtually the main thing. But, I would love to pick Kansas to upset here. Would love it. They're not going to, but I would love to pick it. Kansas State's going to win this game. As much as I was right about Neil Brown, I was very wrong about Chris Klieman. It seemed like everybody got a good coach that offseason except for one team. Mm-hmm. When I mentioned who that one team is, but I think we all know who that one team is. So we move on. Oklahoma at TCU. Dylan, will the Horned Frogs pull off another upset against the Sooners?
Oh, man. This is probably the toughest call of the week. This will be the closest game in the Big 12 slate, I think. It's hard to trust Oklahoma. You know, sometimes Spencer Rattler looks really impressive, and people like to compare him to Patrick Mahomes, which is nonsense. And then other times he looks like hot garbage. So they're hard to trust. It's also hard to trust TCU at this point. I keep getting dogged picking Oklahoma, so let's go upset special. TCU at home.
Woo, baby, that's what I'm talking
playing
about.
Playing in front upset of their normal crowd.
Yeah, I mean, they're like, oh, COVID protocol, we're used to this. This is nothing.
Hey, limited capacity, bet. Games?
That's how the Big 12 decided how many fans they were going to allow to the games. They're like, what's TCU's capacity?
What's their average attendance?
Yeah. All right, cool. We'll make it that. The only reason why Spencer Rattler gets compared to Patrick Mahomes is because they're both lights. They're both mixed. That's really it. Oh, mixed guys with curly hair? Same thing. You can run, you can pass, right?
Not quite.
I'm gonna stick with Oklahoma in this one. You know me, I hate all things TCU. I don't want to give TCU any credit. After beating Texas, they pull up a stinker against Kansas State. And I will say TCU is going to force Spencer Rattler into some mistakes. And I expect at least 2 interceptions from Rattler in this game. Difference is I don't expect Mac is doing to capitalize on any of them. So give me OU, but I do agree that it's going to be a close one. Next up, unranked Baylor at unranked Texas. I hope they both stay unranked forever. It's pretty glorious. Who you got in this one?
You know, I think the pressure is really on Tom Herman right now. After dropping 2 games in a row and losing that, triple overtime thriller to Oklahoma?
Quadruple overtime thriller to Oklahoma.
I think the pressure is really on Tom Herman. And Baylor has almost, have they played 1 game so far? Am I remembering that correctly?
So
the pressure's not exactly on. Their season is lost. They're rusty. Give me the Longhorns.
So technically they played 2. I will say this. Baylor did almost beat West Virginia, beat the socks off of Kansas. They're fresh. They don't have the stench of being 2-time losers like some teams in Texas and Texas Tech. I'm going upset special. Baylor Bears to beat the Longhorns. I this was a true road game, I actually would probably pick Texas. But I think they're down on themselves. You remember the Charlie Strong's last year when every time that it was like, oh, UT can get any worse, they doubled down and was worse and lost to like a team like Kansas. This is feeling a lot like Charlie Strong's third year. And I want the wheels to come completely off against for the Herman bunch. Right. As much as we're complaining about Tech this year, remember, Tech looked like the better team against Texas. No matter what this final score said, Tech looked like the better team against Texas. If Tech looked like the better team against Texas and hasn't looked like the better team against anybody else, that tells you how Texas really is. I'm going Baylor in this one. Book it. I haven't gotten an upset in a while.
I don't know if that really counts as an upset special.
It's an upset special. Come on now.
That's an upset special. They're both unranked.
Oh, come on, man. You're not going to give me that?
Let's see what matchup predictor says.
Lame.
Then maybe I'll give it to you.
Well, while you look that up.
76% Texas. Okay.
So, that's an upset.
All right. I take it back.
Well, all right. So next up, the number 2 game of the week. We already know what the game of the week is, but the other game that everybody else may be watching, 17th ranked Iowa State at 6th ranked Oklahoma State. We're obviously in an alternate universe where those two are the best 2 teams in the conference, but they are. Who you got?
First of all, let me address, this should be the primetime game in the Big 12. I don't know why, of all the years, that this is the year they decide to give Texas Tech good time slots, because you really should just stick us at 11 o'clock and book it for the rest of the year. But anyways, this is the primetime premiere matchup.
Over with?
I don't know. This is the primetime matchup in the Big 12. This is it. I really like Oklahoma State. I get burned a lot picking Iowa State. If you listen to this podcast, Iowa State crushes me every time I pick them, so I'm not going to do it. Oklahoma State, they're for real.
Well, you talked about ever since Kansas State lost, ever since Iowa State lost to Louisiana, they've been winning. Now, they've been winning not beautifully. It's not like they've been winning sexily or anything like that. They've been just scraping by. They scraped by against TCU. They scraped by against Oklahoma. They beat Tech. I mean, there was no scraping by against that one. But this is a team that looks to be getting a little bit better. Better and better and better. That defense is looking better and better. And if that defense is looking better and they're forcing Spencer Sanders into some problems, who knows? The Iowa State has the better quarterback. This is another one I just looked. It's a 73.6% chance that Oklahoma State wins this game. Big 12 doesn't deserve undefeated teams. Give me Iowa State for the upset.
Brock Purdy's better than Spencer Sanders? I don't know. Not this year. Brock Purdy has been a shell of himself this year. I don't trust him.
They barely beat Tulsa. I don't want to hear it. Okay? They
haven't played the best. Week one has a big old asterisk on it. Okay? Week one was garbage nonsense.
That's fair. But I will say, I think that, and actually, we're talking all this about Spencer Sanders. Is he even going to play or is it going to be Shane Ellingsworth?
Oh.
Yeah, Shane Ellingsworth might even be playing this week.
According to the Google's Albi, Spencer Sanders is returning against Iowa State this week. That's a very good point. Had he not been playing, I might have gone the other way. But it's interesting to see here. Here's another article that is coming across the Google's. Gundy might play two quarterbacks.
Oh, okay. You might play two quarterbacks? We don't know. Spencer might be a little hurt. Oh, well, we're going to put in the fiery shit. Get out of here. Iowa State defense don't play that. Iowa State for the upset. I'm going two upset specials this week, Dylan. How you like me now?
Not much more than I did earlier, so maybe even less.
Book it. I'll be sure guaranteed. Right, man, I'm telling you, I'm on fire right now. And I might even call a third upset in the game of the week this week, West Virginia at Texas Tech. If you want to know how it is the game of the week, it's because this is the cheapest tickets in the Big 12. So that obviously means that everybody wants to go to it. Seriously, it's the cheapest. It's less than 50 bucks to go to a game. It's pretty sad. But anyways, who you got in this one, Dylan? Are you going to be a hater your whole life? Or are you going with the Red Raiders?
Well, I guarantee you we're picking the same team, and that team is West Virginia. I mean, for all the reasons we stated, they're the best defense in college football. I don't see it happening. We're starting a quarterback who's never had a start in his college career. I'd be happy just to see our team compete against West Virginia.
You think you're just going to predict where I'm going to go?
Yeah.
You think that you just have it like that? Like you just know me so well that, Albie, we've been doing podcasts together for what, 2-3 years now? And I just know you and your mannerism. So I know what you're about to say. I know how you're going to do, how you're going to predict things. Y'all know me.
I'm Albie Shore, and I like to say things that make you lead to believe that I'm not going to pick this team, but actually I'm going to just roll over here for a little bit and then I'm actually going to pick West Virginia.
Look, let me tell you something. Henry Columbia in his first ever game, West Virginia. Has some tape on him, but not too much, right? He has a running ability. He's going to get it out to our receivers. He's going to be able to make it work. It's going to be closer than anybody else thinks it's going to be. And West Virginia is still going to win.
There it is.
Look, West Virginia, they're good. No, I actually do. If it wasn't West Virginia we were playing this week, I actually might pick the upset. I really do think that the team was going to be energized, off a bye, and they're going to be ready to play in this game. I think it's going to be close. And if West Virginia wasn't playing the defense they were playing and they didn't just play Kansas last week, I would have picked the upset. But playing Kansas is about as good as having a bye in the first place. It's kind of like they've had 3 bye weeks because they haven't, outside of Kansas, the last game before that was Baylor in the beginning of the month. They're ready. They're primed to go. So, unfortunately, sorry, people, I got to go West Virginia.
I mean, we've said it. When teams play Kansas, I think coaches just start game planning for the next week. Plan for Kansas. Look at who's next and prepare for that team for 2 weeks. So if that's the case, yikes.
And you know what's funny? At the beginning of the year, when we were predicting the schedule, I foolishly at the time, I think I predicted Tech to go 4-6, if I'm not mistaken. Predicted Tech to go 4-6, thinking, okay, we would win 3 games, yada, yada, yada. y'all ridiculed me because I said that I thought West Virginia was a toss-up game and there was a very good chance we'd lose to West Virginia. That's, you said that, Dylan, and now look at you. Picking West Virginia to win the game.
Yeah, well, I have 4 weeks of knowledge now.
Yeah, well.
I'm starting to become a Neil Brown believer.
Hey, man, he's the truth. He's the truth.
I don't know about that, but.
Who knows? Maybe, I wonder what he would have looked like as Tech's coach. Huh. Too bad Tech didn't have that chance.
Or Chris Kleiman, for that matter.
Or anybody.
Les Miles. Yeah, that's honestly who I wanted.
All right, I don't know about that, but I was going to look. All right, actually, no, at this point, we're 1-3. I don't anybody. Hey, I think I could have led the Tech to 1-3 this year. I mean, you know, it's not saying much. Like, when you know how bad it has to be, like, look at Cliff Kingsbury in Arizona and be like, I miss him.
Everyone got to see him play in Dallas this weekend, and it's just like, oh, man, what have we done?
You don't know what you got till it's gone.
The other argument there is he's doing a lot less as a coach in college. Like, he doesn't have to worry about recruiting. He doesn't have to worry about grades. It's like, it's just drop some plays, coach.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I mean, he still was bad. Like, let's not sugarcoat. He still wasn't any good. He just wasn't 1-3. Anything else you want to say to the people, Dylan?
Let me leave everyone with a show recommendation because people in Lubbock apparently need to stay inside. hop on Amazon Prime if you got it and watch The Boys. It's about superheroes and corruption and like, oh dude, it's awesome. The Boys, check it out.
I have heard nothing but great things about The Boys. I am currently binge watching Girlfriends on Netflix. That's not a joke. Girlfriend's a fantastic show. Because
your wife is making you, or?
Look, no shame, no shame. She was watching it at first, but hey, I'm on season two and she's still on season one. I'm not going to lie to you.
Babe, okay? We're going to watch Girlfriends.
Yeah, no, I'm not going to lie to you. All right. I'm Team Joan. I'm such a Joan, right? And, hey, it is what it is. Hey, no shame in my game, Dylan, okay? This is like Girlfriends is like the black Sex in the City, and I'm okay with it.
Okay, so there you go, Lubbock. Stay inside, be safe for a weekend, and watch some Netflix or Amazon Prime.
Nobody in Lubbock's watching Girlfriends. other than that, make sure you follow the podcast, Air Raid Podcast, on Twitter. Follow the home team at Viva the Matadors. Follow Dylan. I always forget what your Twitter name is. It's like Dylan something.
Yeah.
at Mr_AlbieShore. So for Dylan, for Albie, you've been listening to the Air Raid Podcast presented by Viva the Matadors. As always, stay wrecked, people.